Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. We're going to talk about The Grudge. This is a remake of The Grudge that was a J-horror film remade into a American film. I think there was The Grudge 2, apparently. Was that directed?
I think it was up to 3.
Yeah, wasn't it directed by the director of the J-horror one?
I believe the first one was, and the second one.
All right, so this one is directed by Nicholas Pesce, written and directed it. It stars Tara Westwood, Junko Bailey, and David Lawrence Brown, and the synopsis is, a house is cursed by a vengeful ghost that dooms those who enter it with a violent death. So we have the person that, if you cross him in traffic, he has Freddy Krueger on speed dial.
What? I mean, I kind of do have him. But anyway, continue.
What did you think of The Grudge?
You and I have talked about movies in January. In February, right? You and I have talked about
it. Yes, it is the double ground for bad movies. So
how they all shitters. And first thing that comes to my mind is the motherfucking Bye Bye Man. This thing is so bad. The Bye Bye Man came out, I think, January of 2017? Yes. Or 18. One or two. But basically, it was in January.
Yeah, because you were really hyped about that movie.
Yeah, I was. Really, I was. And it was utter trash. Just like this one. I wasn't hyped about this one. But I'm a fan of The Grudge series, especially the Japanese version. I haven't seen all of them. And I believe in the American remake, they got to 3. The American remake, because it was in a time frame when this came out, American version was when the J-horror boom hit the United States.
Yeah,
you know,
so
they had The Ring, Grudge, they had Dark Water, they had One Missed Call, they had all these J-horror movies that were remade for American audiences, which didn't do too well, except for The Ring and The Grudge.
Yeah, so The Grudge, again, is a J-horror film. It's called Ju-on: The Grudge, and it was written and directed by Takashi Shimizu.
Break it down to you. It starts off with a woman leaving the cursed house in Japan. She's like, I just want to head home. There's something about this house. I just want to head home. I don't know why she was there. We don't know why she was there. We just know she left the house, and she was outside the house, and some spooky shit started to happen then. Now, mind you, this movie does something that you despise, but it has a whole shit ton of flashbacks. So the story is all over the damn place. 2004, and then it goes to 2006, and it
so
keeps jumping back to 2004.
American Grudge came out somewhere around that time. So is it connected to that? Or is
I
it connected to that
to,
same
I
house or something?
I trying to connect it to that, but it doesn't mention anything of the previous movies. I think they did that to try to connect it just by giving it a date. Which is fine. I don't mind it being in 2004, but pick a damn date, man. They kept going back between 2004 and 2006. They couldn't just tell the narrative in a straightforward fashion. It was just jump here, jump here, jump here, jump here, jump here. So the story was hard to follow. The movie was really, 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 really unbelievably dark.
Visually or dark as in evil stuff?
Visually. Create the atmosphere, set the tone, and all that. They try too hard. It should not be that, oh, let's just film it in low light. Let's just make everything so dark. No, the atmosphere has to be dark. The cinematography to me was awful. Dark as hell. So dark, and it was so slow paced. The pacing was so bad that my wife and I, we fell asleep for at least a good 15, 20 minutes in this movie. In the theater, knocked out. You didn't care about any of the characters, nothing. Because you couldn't care about the characters because it kept jumping back and forth. So you didn't really get no character development whatsoever. Like, one of the things that attracted me to this version of The Grudge was that it had Lin Shaye in it. And for people that don't know who Lin Shaye is, Lin Shaye, the woman that is in the Insidious movies, The Medium.
So is she just in this movie provide some legitimacy?
I think so, to be honest with you. I mean, she didn't really have much of a role. 7 minutes worth of screen time, if that. To explain the whole grudge curse thing, right? If you walk into this house, you're automatically cursed. Period. Point blank. You open the door.
Yeah,
you
step I remember
your foot
that
in,
from the
you're cursed. Right.
Original American one.
And they got that for the Japanese one, which the Japanese one was fucking amazing.
Yeah, because I think Sarah Michelle Gellar was in that.
Yes, she was in the remake.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. The second one wasn't bad either, but it wasn't better than the first. Third one, I think I saw it, but I don't remember that much of it. But I definitely remember the first and the second one, American version. And I do remember Ju-on, Japanese version, very well. And that was a great movie. This one is just trying to do something that shouldn't have been done in the first place. This was unwanted and unneeded. Didn't have to be made. It was just not a good representation of that series.
I assume this is probably Sony, because Sony 2016 has always been searching for what they have in their wheelhouse movies. If you think about it, what have they really had other than Spider-Man, other than those two movies, the two Spider-Man movies, what have they had? Nothing. Ever since that 2016 Ghostbusters.
I thought it was the interview that started with the whole
action. Well, yeah, that's...
Getting back to the curse, break it down as much as I can for the people that don't know. If I was to go crazy and kill my kid in this house would be
theoretically
cursed.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Most definitely theoretically. This house would be cursed. So, Barry, if you stepped in this house, I will be haunting your ass wherever you go. That's it. You're fucked. And it won't end. What they did here was bring the curse to America, which was done in the American version in part two, which worked out fine because the curse was still the girl that was in Japan. So what happened here was they changed it all up. It was not a good presentation at all. The woman that came back from Japan that went home, that walked out the house, which I mentioned earlier, she walked out the house. Some creepy shit was happening. She was cursed. She went home. She brought the curse home. A couple days later, she ended up killing her family. Now, they are the ones that are going around cursing people or whoever walks in the house. They're the ones that are haunting people that walk in that house. To me, that just kind of just took me out of it. You know, I'm expecting a Japanese woman to show with the little boy doing the cat sounds and stuff like that. So it wasn't none of that. It was just the little girl, the mother, and her husband. Husband creeping people out, little girl just walking around, and the mom is the one, I guess, actually doing the killing or whatever. So then more people moved into that house, and that's when Lin Shaye's character comes in. She's married to Frankie Faison. So they were married, and I'm assuming that she had dementia or something. Her dementia got worse when she got into the house, and he was talking to a person that would help assist with her departure, if I could explain that well enough. Basically, person make the transition easier, if you know what I'm trying to say. Not like Dr. Kevorkian, none like that, but just a transitional person. She was like, well, I can't do this because she's not a stable mind, because she's talking to the girl, because she sees the girl. So the woman that walked into the house, now she is cursed. It kept going back and forth because the cop that was, she's new to the whole area and whatnot, she investigated that house. She found Lin Shaye eating her damn hand, and the Faison guy, he was already dead in the chair. Like I said, they kept going back. So you saw how they died. So they kept going back between 2004 and 2006. And then John Cho, he was the real estate agent who was selling people in the house, and he was going into the house to get the closing papers signed. He ended up being cursed. He ended up killing his pregnant wife. Usually with horror movies, or usually with any type of movie, there's something redeemable. There is nothing redeemable about this movie. I fell asleep on it for 15 minutes and didn't miss a beat. I understood everything that was going on because it wasn't shit going on. It was a very slow pace, and because it was dark and slow pace, it will put you to sleep. There was no eeriness. The atmosphere was not done well. The acting was subpar. You didn't care about the characters. There was nothing redeemable about this movie.
Was it at least funny?
No.
So it wasn't even funny like the Blair Witch Project.
No.
He compared it to the Baba Man, so.
To me, the Baba Man is better than this.
Oh.
Wait, Bye-Bye Man? Is that the one where he says that you can't look at him, can't smell him, can't touch his feet?
Yeah. See, look,
don't
the Baba
speak
Man
it, don't say it,
good,
don't think it,
the
whatever.
The Baba Man had one thing over this. It was a good premise.
How is that a good premise?
Well, outside of what they could have created with it, it was just the execution was poor. Bye-Bye Man had his moments that it had the atmosphere. The atmosphere was pretty okay. This one didn't have nothing. It was just dark. Dark, dank. You didn't know what the fuck was going on. Quietest movie theater I've ever been in. Usually when you go to a horror movie, even if it's a small crowd, there's always someone in there that gets scared, that jumps. People were just sitting there like looking at this. And then when we got up and left, everybody just kind of looked at each other was like, what the fuck? It just ended. The first thing came to my mind, I said, I don't know who directed this shit. They have to be a new director, or they don't have very good directing chops. And this was probably in their career.
Well, I mean, the director has only done two other things other than
that. That explains it. He probably won't get another chance. This is god awful.
I mean, again, this is brought to you by Sony. makers of
and I'm assuming Charlie's Angels. They paid Lin Shaye very fucking well just to be in this movie.
I mean, Sony seems to be...
This is below her.
Sony seems to be at least trying to hire some people that don't have a lot of directing experience.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. You got to start somewhere. A lot of directors get their start in horror. It's an easy genre, but it's a hard genre at the same time. If you know what I mean, because it's hard to scare people. People are so desensitized that nothing scares you. I think it's an easy, fun genre because you could just basically kind of do what you want to do, but it just has to be good. And this was not good at all. At all.
All right.
Like, I'll give you a prime example of a director that hasn't really done much, but movies that he's done recently are pretty decent. The guy that directed Hereditary, Ari Aster, right? He's done some things. I remember he did this short film. It's on YouTube called Strange Things About the Johnson. And that movie is fucked up. Did Midsommar, which I heard was pretty good. I didn't see it yet.
The end of that movie is extremely, extremely weird. That's all I can say about that.
Well, Hereditary, the end of that movie is extremely, extremely weird.
No, too. No, James. The end of Midsommar is weird.
Okay, well, I need to check it out.
But I only watched the end because I was like, I don't want to sit here through this. And then, like, whatever I saw was the most strangest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, from what I heard, it's kind of like Wicker Man a little bit. I mean, he's on the right path. This motherfucker here, I don't know what he's going to do. So I just want to give you my score, man. I think you kind of gather where I'm going to get this. So whenever you're ready for the score, Barry.
Are you going to Donut Land, James?
Oh, it's there. By itself, population one. Because this movie is getting a fucking zero. I wanted this to be good, too. One, I was like, man, I know Barry and I talked about movies in January and February being utter shit.
Birds of Prey comes out next month.
And matter of fact, I should have known because the trailer was in that bitch, too. So I was like, but anyway, I wanted it to be good just to be different, you know, because you have been right. The movies in January and February are utter trash. The bottom of the barrel.
Last year was Glass.
The year before that, Bye Bye Man.
Oh my God, Glass. Jeez.
So this movie gets a huge zero. I will not see this again. I will not wish this upon my worst enemy.
The American one was good.
The American one was pretty decent.
Yeah.
It was good.
What part scared you in the American one?
Well, nothing scared me in the American one, but it was a good movie. Why do you even ask questions like that? You know my answer.
One day you'll tell me the truth.
You know what? I will tell you the truth. And I've been telling you the truth. If it scares me, I will tell you. But no, that didn't scare me, but it was a good movie.
I think we're overusing the zeros.
A lot of movies deserve it.
There's got to be something in the movie.
There's nothing.
A positive thing.
Keith, what about Star Wars, yo?
I'm done talking.